Are you looking for a money reset? With the new year upon us, the Jill on Money podcast is here to help you take control of your financial life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike to tell you along with Charlie Long. Man, we're going to jump on it right off the bat, and we'll go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line from the Are You Serious Sports Network, Blake Ruffino. And Blake, thanks so much for joining us. Hope the gremlins don't catch us this time via the phone. But how you doing today, partner?
You know, Mike, if it was just me and you, I might make a funny joke about the world that we live in and all the craziness that's going on and them interfering. But regardless of that, I think we're going to be all good today. And another good day of practice, Mike, so I appreciate you having me on to talk about it.
A little bit about right off the bat on the practice sessions. And I talked to people that had covered Coach Kiffin and Ole Miss, and they were like, hey, be ready. It's going to be really limited. But he has opened that up much more than I think anybody would have expected. And to be honest with you, Blake, maybe he got that whispered loud to him.
Mike, to your point, he opened up the press conference today, asked him to Michael Bynette if there's something that you guys would want. We could, you know, work things out. Like, Mike, I want team drill. You know, like, I don't even care if we report on it. You know, just for my own. You know, Mike, you've been out so many practices. You know what one-on-ones and teams would do, even if you can't go live and we restrict it. I mean, I don't care about that point. But, I mean, Mike, the only thing we didn't see was the final team one-on-one. It's the only thing that we didn't see. So he definitely is opening that up. I do think that he's gotten some whispers in reference to it. And so, I mean, Mike, there's not a lot that we haven't seen. And, you know, other than that, I mean, it's been a really productive 4 days that we've been out there.
Blake, I'm going to ask you this because this really pajamas and slippers, you know, maybe you got socks involved with it too. But but has there been a couple freshmen that have jumped out at you and say, hey, look, And I know it's real early, and that's a tough question for you. But have there been a couple freshmen you say, man, they look like they belong, and they don't look like freshmen out there on the field?
Without a doubt, it's Deuce Gerald's. It's not okay. Remotely close. I mean, Mike, and they got in the pads again today. And so when we've been going live, and I know, you know, we just talked about this coming out of practice, it's not close. You know, pads come on today, Mike, and we're going through a team drill, and there he is again. And so, I mean, look, I get that he's 6 foot, 280 pounds, 285 pounds, and I'm not trying to compare him to Aaron Donald, but we've seen defensive tackles at 6 foot, 285 pounds be productive. Mike, the simple nature is this. It doesn't matter if he's in the five. It doesn't matter if he's in the three. It doesn't matter if he's in the one. He is going to penetrate the gap quicker than you can get off the ball, and I think that he is someone – Mike, he's starting. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. It's him and Malik Blocken, or it's Richard Anderson and Malik Blocken, or it's going to be Deuce Gerald's and Richard Anderson. I mean, and they have 1,000% been something that you just cannot keep your eyes off of. And by the way, Mike, I'm walking out of practice today, and a coach stops me and goes, wait. He screams at me, and I walk over there, and he's like, wait till Lamar Brown gets here. I mean, so, look, Deuce Gerald's, Mike, let's take the freshman tag off of him for just a second, okay? He has a sack on Thursday or on Saturday. He has a tackle for loss on Thursday. And then today he's going in there and with pads on, and he's just as disruptive as anybody out there. So Mike, when we talk about, hey, is this freshman standing out, you know, Jabari Mack, by the way, if there's ever a Destrehan wide receiver, I'm taking him. That's a whole different conversation. But regardless of that, I mean, Mike, you cannot go out there for 20 seconds and not look at 99 and go, okay, well, he's not the biggest dude. He's not the fattest dude. He's not the fastest dude. But the one thing he is, Mike, is he might be the most explosive dude in that interior, and they're having problems. Now, people talk about the offensive line. I thought they did a lot better today from a pass pro perspective, but 99 is standing out. And Richard Anderson, I don't even know what to say about him. I mean, this is ridiculous. I don't think I didn't know what to expect. I thought physically, you know, in the interior, he would have issues, as all freshmen do. Well, he don't really have no issues right now.
One of the things, when I look at Deuce, I would say if Booger McFarland was on his, you know, high on his toes, that's how Booger looked like at LSU.
Oh, no doubt.
Physically. Now, I don't want to compare talents yet because I haven't seen anything from a physicality standpoint with Deuce Gerrels, but he looks like what you would think of because he's built like him, and basically they're kind of the same size. He's maybe a tad taller than Booger McFarland, but he's sort of built along the lines of Booger McFarland for people who have not seen him play.
Well, and Mike, I mean, I know on the, you know, on the roster, got him 360. I mean, I used to be 360 before I lost weight, and I didn't look like that. I'm just, you know, he got muscle. I had jelly, you know? And so if he's 360 pounds, Mike, I want to know where. You know, I mean, because he looks that good. And Mike, just being blunt, I mean, they had what was this, on Saturday, you know, they're really focusing in on the run game. You know, they come out to shoot, and, Mike, they're trying to go downhill, and they can't. I mean, I say they can't. I mean, it's 3 or 4 yards in a cloud of dust, a lot better than it was a year ago. But, Mike, he's taking on double teams. I mean, he's giving Devin Harper all that he can handle and more. And, Mike, you had two starting interior defensive tackles that are true freshmen. And that's the thing that, you know, I don't know if we should be concerned about that. I don't know if that's just because they're that talented. And then, and Mike, you're talking about Lamar Brown's not even out there yet. So I just come back to, and Steph Green, today was the first day Steph Green put on pads and that he was out there. So maybe he starts rotating in there. I thought, Mike, to just be completely blunt, he talking about looking the part. It is him and Richard Anderson that look the part. But Richard Anderson's held his own. And, Mike, I was really surprised. You know, when you talk about a guy that's 6'4", 6'5", 360 pounds, I just did not expect what I saw. I didn't expect for him to be that strong and that explosive. I didn't expect him to be on his toes as much as he was. I guess I should have known better and what we saw at Carr. But, Mike, I mean, at the same time, going from Carr to what you and I go to every week or go to every day is a different beast. And I just think that they have been so impressive from start to finish, and now them pads are coming on. I mean, Mike, I thought he'd get a little bit moved today, if I'm being blunt. And you got a quarterback sweep that you're running, and he's right there blowing it up. So it just comes down to, I think that both of them have definitely shown why, and Mike, I don't mean this disparagingly, I don't mean this in the wrong way, why Don McKinley sitting on the sidelines right now.
Yeah. You brought up Jabari Mack, and I was going to bring him up also. You know, I got to see him at Destrehan, and, man, he can flat-out fly. You talk about a dude who could run. But I think one of the things he's gotten better at, and so I'll ask you, since I haven't seen it other than maybe a little film here and there, is his ability to get into and out of a cut and a break, because sometimes really fast guys, they almost, because we've seen it before, you and I, they almost come to a complete stop because just kind of the way the gravity is with them, they can run on a straight line or run kind of sideways, but that ability to cut and break, sometimes for a really fast guy, they almost got to come to a stop before they make that little move. Mm-hmm. How have you seen that? Because I know one thing, having watched him at Destrehan, he go flat out outrun everybody. I mean, there aren't a lot of corners that'll be able to keep up with him because he's got that type of speed, and he was a great track athlete too at Destrehan. So what you've been able to see from Jabari as a route runner, because that's the one thing for me. I want to see how he comes out of that cut and the break, and can he do it smoothly without really coming to a slowdown or a stop?
Yeah, I mean, Mike, to be completely blunt, outside of some things here and there, I haven't been able to see him much. They have so many receivers. So when he gets a rep, I mean, I'll give an example, Mike. Like, for example, he messed up an option route today. He should have ran a slant, and he ran it out. DB cut, DP cut in, he cut in, and you had a PBU. Okay, he should have cut out. There, you know, a lot of different things. I thought the route, however, was pretty flawless, just being completely blunt. I think for me with him at this exact – and so, Mike, I think now that you say that, it's something that I want to really focus on because I obviously really trust in what you see. I think for me in watching him, it's how he's getting off of press that is impressive to me so much. Is that you had there was a situation on Saturday where it's him versus DJ Pickett, and DJ Pickett's long, and Mike, I'm just going to tell you, he tried to put hands on him, and he couldn't. And so that's a couple of things. And then you had the catch, I know that everybody saw, the one-handed in the end zone. But, Mike, every time that they've tried to press him or be physical with him, they can't touch him. So to your point, it's not necessarily that I've seen personally where I've been able to see him extend in route running. It's been the explosiveness and quickness in his footwork where, Mike, they can't get hands on him. You know, it looks like the rope-a-dope Muhammad Ali to some extent. They can't put hands on him. And I think that's the part where he's starting to separate himself a little bit because, you know, you get some chirping out there now. You get some chirping about how this kid, you know, Mike, he just can get off that press really quickly. So I want to see him more in that. I mean, they just got so many receivers. But I do think that him getting off of press man coverage has been insanely nice to watch.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
DJ Pickett, everybody saw what happened against Houston. And to be honest with you, Blake, we had on Willie Fritz the Monday. Bobby and I do in second guess at the Silver Slipper. And I asked him about, you know, you ain't got to play against Mansoor Delane. And he kind of gave a little laugh about it. He was like, oh, thank goodness. He's one of the elite guys, you know, I've seen all season long. But he said, you know, hey, we got a plan to attack LSU. When he said that, as soon as we went to break, I told Bob, they're going after DJ Pickett. And that's exactly what they did. They tried to exploit the fact that now, hey, we're going after you, and we're going to try to break you down mentally. We think we can we got a little click here with that. And that's just a little bit of the transformation from being a high school player to a college player. What? In high school, man, I'm not throwing the football near DJ Pickett. But in college, I might take a chance early on because maybe his techniques aren't exactly 100%. And teams, now he's in the spot where Delane, no one threw the football at him. Now you in that spot, I'm going to attack you. I want to see his development, not so much physically. We know all about that. His technical skills and him biting at times real hard on a double move.
Well, Mike, so to your point, okay, and you bringing that up, Chase Brown got it, okay? They run a sluggo, and he bites down hard, he got it. Now, the so there's two things. Obviously, you don't like, you know, him biting down as hard as he did on the sluggo and on that double move. However, the makeup speed was ridiculous. So I do think, Mike, there's a lot of technicality things that he's still working with. You know, Corey's over there with him a lot, obviously, and some of those things and what he's doing. I agree with you on all that. I do think some of this, you know, he's working on the technical side where he's just got, obviously, the physical side. So I do think, to some extent, you know, Mike, the truth of the matter is, if we want to be blunt, they attacked him all day today, and I thought he was pretty impressive.
Okay.
I thought that the level of physicality and technique that he showed was really good. Mike, they went right at him today. And so you had three passes right at him. I mean, two of them were caught. I mean, he was playing off. He came down. He made the tackle. But, I mean, technical-wise, I thought he looked good. I mean, Mike, we saw one he got beat. I do think technicality-wise, I do think he's stiff at the point of attack to some degree because he's just so long. But, Mike, if he can start figuring that out a little bit, I think, I mean, sky's the limit for him.
like, before we let you run, I want to get your thoughts. Obviously, busy time for LSU because you have spring football going on, baseball's in full swing, and then we had the press conference, the reintroductory press conference yesterday for Will Wade coming back. Mm-hmm. And I remember when Mike and I did the interview with him after his press conference at McNeese a few years back, and he came on with this. The first thing he said, he was like, we're going to win the South in year one, right? He's obviously a very confident guy, and just hearing his opening statement to LSU fans, to the media yesterday, he had that same confidence. He's a different coach. He said that that LSU's getting a better coach, a better leader. And also kind of the idea, I want to get your thoughts on how quickly he can turn LSU basketball around, Blake, because in the new pay-for-play model where NIL is king, it seems like that's a new environment that I think Will Wade could really thrive in, especially if LSU gives him the funds to succeed. But your thoughts on Will Wade returning to LSU and how quickly you think he could get things turned around for that Tiger basketball program?
I think quickly because of what you just said about the money. And, you know, I do think that there have been some people that have wanted to give to men's basketball, that love men's basketball, that haven't been given to men's basketball, just being blunt. And so, you know, the bottom line is, I think a lot like Lane, okay, you had a lot of people with a lot of political backing and a lot of things going on that want not only wanted to succeed, but kind of needed to succeed. And so what does Wade look like? You know, the biggest thing, Charlie, that I thought that Wade said was at the end of the tenure with Scott was that we were functioning at 60% capacity and we still made the tournament. So if that's remotely true, which we can go on a whole rabbit hole here with how it ended with Ed and things that came out with that. We can talk about Brian Kelly and the things that happened with Colin Simmons. I mean, I can tell you what Colin Simmons told me when we went up there to do the commitment. I mean, and some of the things that were happening there. So I do think he can quickly turn this around. I don't think he's scared. And I do think that for once you're going to be above 500. So I do think quickly, but I don't know if, like, you know, he said national championship or bust basically is what he said yesterday. I don't know how quickly he can do that. Do I think he can get a tournament team in year one because now he knows all the players and knows where to go? Yes. And I think you're back. I mean, look, it's everyone wins the press conference unless you're Brandon Siani, okay? But at the same time, he's got a Super Bowl. So, I mean, everybody wins it, but I think everybody knows what you're going to get in Will, so you don't have to second guess it.
One of the things, Blake, I'll end it with this is, and I've told this to Will, I think his greatest trait as a coach is he's a tremendous talent evaluator.
No doubt.
He's got a great eye for talent. And some coaches, because I've been around a lot of them, some of them don't. They feel no matter who I get, I can coach them up. But there are guys that sometimes you can't deal with that. I think one of the things with Will, and I think he has that ability to figure out who can play for me, who can take what I'm going to give him, and process it really well. I feel the same way about Coach Kiffin, but he's got the Batman-Robin combination there because Billy Glasscock doesn't get a lot of ink. But he is really sort of the second brain behind Lane Kiffin and what he wants to piece together. Who becomes that guy for Will Wade at LSU? Because yesterday he made the announcement, hey, I'm the head coach and the GM here at LSU.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if that's what he wants to do. I mean, Mike, you know, some people don't want to do that. I mean, I agree with you that he's an elite evaluator. It's not like Hugh Freeze and wanting to see every boy's ankles that he can find. But, I mean, it just comes down to if that's what he wants to do. I mean, Mike, I guess. And look, here's another thing. I mean, he's going to bring in a lot of former head coaches on his staff. That will be, you know, announced, I think, Monday, Tuesday. And so maybe he says that because he has those guys there with him, so he feels like that he can do it. But to your point, it's going to be interesting to see how that transpires. But I did think that was very interesting he said that.
No doubt about it. But listen, nothing Coach Wade would say would really shock me.
No.
Blake. I'm going to be honest with you.
Never.
Blake, thanks so much for joining us. Always great stuff, buddy. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Big 870.
Anytime, guys. Thank y'all so much for having me.
Thanks, Blake.
Blake Ruffino from the Are You Serious Network does a great job covering the LSU scene.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.